podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Good evening, welcome back to Heart and Hand. This is Heart and Hand Extra, your second free show of the week. Yes, as I can see from the comments flooding in, apologies, we are 4 minutes late. I forgot what I was doing there, to be honest, and couldn't figure things out. Thankfully, I relied on Mr. Technology himself, Andy McGowan, to see me through. How are you, Andy?
Well, I know you had me on for my technical expertise, so I'm glad it came in handy.
Thank you. And making his extra debut, I think we've got Grant. Grant, how are you doing?
Yeah, doing fine. Adam, hello, Andy, and yeah, I would love to see. It's been a interesting week and we've got tons of discussion points, so we'll see what this brings.
Yes, the extra shows have been quite good over the last 18 months or so with the regular midweek games right up until the end of the seasons, but now we're, what will we talk about? And this one is a little bit more difficult in terms of the football, Andy, because it's right in the middle of a St Johnstone sandwich where we've just played them and we're going to play them again. So I'm not sure there's huge amounts that we learned, but we do have a couple of new signings. Well, sorry, I should say we have one new signing and one that we think is very, very close, which is Nicholas Raskin. Todd Cantwell joined the other day. Fee rumoured to be around about £1.5 million. I think that's a great bit of business, even though he's got 6 months to go. I know from a financial side, it will be pretty, pretty good if we get him to the levels that he was 18 months ago. We could be looking at quite a lot of money coming back in if we sell him again. But what's your thoughts on that signing?
I think it's as good as we can get, to be honest. I know it seems quite negative, but I'm very, very conscious of the market. We already spoke about Sam privately, and I think his age, his ability, and his potential, and number of potential, and, you know, he's a different career. But if he can get him to Edinburgh close to what he's shown at the start of his career, then we'll have a fair on my hands available out of that, and we'll contribute. I take heart from when I look around the Scottish League, and I see places at Celtic in particular have gained, and how they've performed. And I look at this guy and I think there's absolutely no reason why Skinny can be a major plus for us. And to pay £1.5 million for me 6 months ago, I think it's still a good blow. Because, as we know, it's better to get a player and get him bedded by an eye on next season. So I think it's a really, really good move. We're looking for players with value. If he was playing
Andy, Andy, true to form, your microphones went... Hey, why are you sound like a Dalek? Do you want to change it? We'll go again. Grant, basically, I think Andy's spot on there in terms of the points. For those of you who didn't hear them, it was basically it's going to be one of these signings that we think as a sort of prototype Michael Beale, if you like, someone we can get in, we can develop, makes sense from that point of view. What's your thoughts on it as well? I know he has been rumoured for a while. It was great to finally get it over the line.
No, definitely. He was a player who had a lot of interest in him when he was at his peak at Norwich a couple of seasons ago. He was rumoured to be the player that Aston Villa were targeting to replace Jack Grealish when he moved to Manchester City, rumoured to be 35, 40 million at the time. So in terms of a player profile, he ticks all the boxes in terms of what we're looking for. He can play in that 10 position. He has also talked about being able to play centrally, potentially as an eight, if you will. So he ticks a lot of boxes on what we're looking for and freshening up that midfield, which we've been desperately needing for God knows how long. We've been talking about it for now, Adam. But it's a good player to get in. But another thing that he brings is the age profile that we're looking for. We talk about these transfers and what it brings to the squad. In terms of the age, he has so much upside to him that he has went through a wee bit of a down spell at Norwich the last 18 months, but he's now moving away from the pressures of his hometown club. So that could be a burden off his shoulders and he could thrive under Beale's coaching if he applies himself correctly, which I have no doubt that he will.
Yeah. Will we do a test before you go for your next monologue, Andy? No, you're on mute. Something's not working, it's not plugged in. Something, there's no sound.
Hear me now?
There's that.
Yay, there we go.
Right, yeah, so in terms of what you were saying there, I think absolutely Cantwell is the ideal candidate there. Are you surprised at the fees? Before we come on to the other players that are rumoured, I guess we're looking at whatever we think, one and certainly seven figures for Cantwell, probably the same for Raskin, maybe the same for Whittaker. Are you surprised at that for this window?
No, because I thought that we might see some loosening of the purse strings after last year's accounts. So I think last year's accounts, and you know, I've spoken on them, bored everybody to tears with them, but I thought there was a constraint in last year's accounts to get it to the kind of figures they got. And I think there's, I'm not saying there's a big kitty there, but I think there's money there to be utilised. And I'm pleasantly surprised to see it being used this window, but I think that's been a necessity because we've got a new manager and things need to change and it's no end to plan. So to sit on money that we've got right now would be folly. And I don't know if you heard it before, my Bluetooth headset died. The fact is, if we get players in now, they're ready for next season, they're more than ready. So it's all positive. So I think it's money well spent. If you get Raskin, Cantwell and potentially Boyface Swansea for the guts of £3 or £4 million. In today's market, it's nothing, even taking into account the fact there's 6 months to go and you get it for nothing. We can't wait that long, to be quite honest with you.
And to be honest, I think Cantwell and Raskin on Bosman's free transfers, etc., are eating up lots of that transfer fee anyway, in terms of, I would think, signing on fees, agent fees, all that sort of stuff. So I think getting them in is key. Grant, what's your take on that? Andy's point about the new manager coming in is obviously interesting as well. You would imagine there would be assurances there when he came in that maybe he'd have some money to spend. It wouldn't be, I don't think, realistic to expect him, given the situation or the squad he had when he came in, to say, you're coming in this situation, you need to try and win two cups, but we're not going to give you any money until the summer. I think that would be maybe less palatable for him because he hasn't been there for the last couple of windows. He wasn't involved in signing players that are now not there or not good enough, etc. So it feels like it was always something that needed to happen, and fingers crossed we can get them over the line.
Oh, absolutely. He probably wouldn't have taken the job if he wasn't given those assurances, because we have to remember he turned down the Wolves job for whatever reasons he turn that down for. So he would have wanted these assurances before taking the job. It seems to have got them, and you can see the profile of the players that we are targeting changing to suit Beal more. Now, I think he has quite a lot of autonomy in the players that we're chasing, and you can see that in Cantwell, Whittaker. They're players that he has known from his time down in England, and obviously his coaching connections as well. So that's always a good sign to see the manager having that level of input into it as well. I would agree wholly with what Andy said. We need the players, and now the squad has needed a good freshen up for at least a season. You could argue potentially even two seasons. We've needed to do quite wholesale changes to the squad in terms of where players are in their cycle at the club, in terms of if they've been here for a year or 2 years. And we've talked about the player trading model time and time again, Adam, and it's something that we need to get right. And I felt over the last couple of windows that we've kind of let that slide in terms of what our ultimate aim is with our playing trading model.
Yeah, no, I agree. Ross M asks, has actually confirmed other than my journal Raskin is signed? No, absolutely not. I think the journalist in question, very well respected in the sort of Belgian side, and from the sound bites or from what that journalist was saying, it feels like he's either close to the agent or close to the player. And that was sort of where things were coming from, that he had information that Rangers were Raskin's first choice, that contract had been agreed, whether that is pre-contract, pending a bid coming in, etc. Whether that contract then just gets extended for 6 months, I don't know. But he was saying that that was the case. And as someone else has said, I think an official bid went in today, which may or may not have been rejected. And we'll go back in again. Andy, I think I see opinion ranging wildly from let's just give Standard Liège the 2.5 million to let's give them absolutely nothing because he'll be out of contract in the summer. For me, I'm a big fan of the player from what I've seen so far, and I think it's a huge, huge, huge priority for us to get this type of player in that position in this window, but I wouldn't be paying over the odds here. I guess from your frugal mindset, you'd be the same. So this sort of bargaining that we're doing is absolutely fair.
Hey, I'm no frugal. I just, you know, I thought the way the board would think I'd spend the money if it didn't me. But the answer's in the middle. You don't get held to ransom for a ridiculous sum with 6 months to go, and you don't be cut your nose off to spite your face to not have him for the rest of the season, embedded in for the sake of a fairly low amount. I'll be very surprised if there's no pre-contract, right? I don't think we're in the position of putting in bids here if that's not the case. And if it is the case, then do we hold the whip hand to a degree? But as we've seen with Souter last year, you know, sometimes obstinance between the two clubs can mean that this doesn't happen.
That makes crackling again.
Fuck you.
I don't think there's any kids watching, I think we'll be fine. Right again now.
Is that better? No.
Nope.
Oh, Andy.
Go ahead, Grant.
It's all right. Grant, so in terms of what's your take on that then? Because obviously we've got a situation there where we're probably not going to be absolutely flush in terms of money coming in. Mm. I see people in the comments asking Porteous and Nisbet for £3 million, should they be added to the mix as well? I personally think the players that we're discussing just now are a completely different market to that and a completely different ballgame. I don't think if funds are tight that makes great sense. I would absolutely take Nisbet if it was closer to the first offer, I think, that Millwall paid. But I think you're verging into dangerous territory there, particularly if we probably don't need that as a huge priority right now and it probably sits with central midfield.
No, I think the priority definitely lies within the central midfield, Adam, and it has for quite a while now. So to be linked with a player like Nicola Raskin has been something that's really refreshing. It's a midfield player and a profile for a player that we haven't really approached for quite a while. Now, obviously, you know a lot more about him and you've spoke a lot more about Nicholas Raskin on the Patreon site than what I'm up to date with. But from what I can see, what I've read about him, he's a very exciting addition. He's been a player that's been tracked for a number of years now, dating back to when we played Standard Liège. So we've done extensive scouting on him. We know what we're going to get from him. But he has, for me, he has to come in now because then it gives him that bedding in period. It lets us actually freshen up the squad now for the rest of the season for what our aims are in the cup competitions and where we see ourselves still in the league, because at the end of the day, yes, it's still 9 points at the moment, but it's not out with the realms of possibility that could be caught depending on how Celtic's form is. So to get him in, especially with our midfield issues at the moment, would be a big bonus for the rest of the season.
Absolutely. How are we doing now?
Who knows? Is that any better?
Crystal clear.
Well, I'll tell you what, don't buy an Apple iPad or shit.
We've had people in the comments saying you're a Dalek. We've had people saying, have you still got dial-up in Ayrshire, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, Andy, this squad building point, I think, is an interesting one because, as Grant said, you could argue, well, it hasn't went very well in the last few windows. I think me and you think there's mitigating reasons for that other than we're just rubbish at it, personally. But without doubt, as Stephen says here, there's a lot of players to come in the summer, a lot of players to leave in the summer, some needing sold. It's a dangerous game to sign a load of players in January, but I think two or three, as we've said, that are hopefully going to come in and impact the first team is good. But what it also then does, for me anyway, is lessens the risk for the summer window. You're maybe looking at a goalkeeper, another centre mid and a striker, and then whatever else we can do round about the edges of the squad. So it's minimising the risk from a sort of full revolution type of thing.
Aye, it's about the player. If the player's available in the summer or January, it doesn't really matter. You sign them when you can sign them, and with Cantwell and Raskin the time is right because they're available, and for whatever reason, there's circumstances that their clubs are willing to play ball. I don't subscribe to the total overhaul kind of concept. I know the squad needs a bit of freshening up, to put it mildly, but I do think often that we get a wee bit hyperbolic about total revamps and doing what Advocat did and buying 20 players and stuff like that. I don't think we're anywhere near that. I think that our squad, very much like that lot across the city did after their full 10-0 season, 4 or 5 starters can make a hell of a difference to an overall squad, never mind the first 11. And I think it can energise other players. I think we've got to bear in mind that, you know, Lowry's still to arrive, and I think he will at some point. You've got young Devine will become, at the very least, a squad player that can be relied upon. And you've got players come back. We've kind of forgotten. Well, I'm sure we've not forgotten, but it does tend to drift out of our thinking when we're talking about things like the injuries we've had. Yilmaz is a new signing because we've seen him for 2 minutes. You've got Hadji to come back who will contribute. We've still seen the best of Tillman, and he's getting better all the time.
Yep.
I think we need a striker now. So we went for this place, Adam Willard. We must get a right winger. It's a perennial issue. We must get a number 6, you know, in front of defence, Raskin. And now we're looking, the next thing will be a striker. So I'm not saying I'm relaxed, right? I'm not Ross Wilson, Mr. Relaxed. I'm sitting here saying it can be done. There's no guarantees. But we're due a bit of luck in terms of buying players and them coming off. We've spoken with Adam. Last summer, it was not as bad as we thought or think, because it's the injuries that have killed us. No Matondo. Yep. If you're going to buy 7 players, one of them is going to be a shiter. And that's a fact, especially in the market we're dealing in. That's not an excuse. It's reality. So if we get these two, and the boy Whitaker, who I don't really know and is a bit of promise, but if we get Raskin Campbell, then that's a massive move forward in terms of what we need to do in the summer.
No, I completely agree on that. It does de-risk it for sure. Grant, it's all went quiet on Whitaker a little bit. I'm guessing full focus has been on obviously getting Cantwell sorted out and then hopefully Raskin. If those reports are believed, we went over to Belgium to deal with that. I don't think Swansea have another game now, don't they not? So that's sort of...
Not until the end of the transfer window anyway. It's after the transfer window the next play.
Kind of gone. But again, he's someone that I think fills a little gap. Plays on the right and can cut on his left. We've got a lot of players that want to play on the left and can cut on the right and can't get a game there because Kent's playing. So it feels like that could be something. I must admit that he's the one I know the least about, but he certainly had a decent start to the season in League One before they brought him back.
No, definitely. I think it's something like 16 goal involvements, 9 goals scored in League One, which for a player of his age is reasonable for him. He has a better goal involvement than what Aribo done in the League One season before we went and signed him. So if you're looking for a comparison, then there it is there. But it just provides a different option if you bring someone like Whitaker in. Adam, you talk about the players on the left-hand side being primarily right-footed. It then gives us that option to change it. Like, for example, if you start Sakala, then on that right-hand side, if it's not working, you can bring Whitaker on or vice versa. So it just gives you different options for different games and being able to cause teams different problems in games where they could be comfortable against a certain player. So it would be interesting to see what happens there because Swansea have played this out very publicly and what they thought they would be able to do in smoking out a bid, most likely by saying they were going to involve him in the squad. The player then said he didn't feel comfortable being in the squad for the game, so it's lessened their position as far as I'm concerned. So it would be interesting to see because it doesn't appear as though that anybody else is interested in bidding for him.
No, and also
let me tell you, they're playing chicken with their own club. If they're thinking they're going to smoke us,
even the wrong person, Ross Wilson, he just
no chance. I know. So I think it doesn't seem to be anyone else that we're even remotely close to as well, which leads me to think it is just we'll get this one done. He's not going anywhere. The player clearly wants to come. Wasn't in the right frame of mind to play. looks like the ball's all in our court on that one. Okay, Andy, what do you want to moan about first? The ticket website or people moaning about Edmondson House?
Oh, I'll sit back for this one.
Oh, I'm in heaven. This is great. This is like a Club 1872 meeting. Let's go for ticket fiasco, Andy.
Oh, that is, I have to say, it's never great. I've obviously bought my fair share of tickets on it. It's never great, but that was the worst. Even just in terms of the wait time hasn't been like that. I don't think the wait time was like that for to get the Seville tickets. I know there was obviously a wee bit less, but it was ridiculous. I had people saying that they'd been in for an hour and a half. Someone I know had put 250 quid's worth of tickets in his basket before they even managed to get it, before he even managed to get to a checkout because it just wasn't working. I was sure, Andy, that there was something that came out, and I've not checked, that something had been upgraded at some point over the last 6 months or so. I don't really know what it was because it still looks the same. It still works the same. You still can't update your basket. You still have to close the browser and it says you've left two tickets in your basket. I know I've left two tickets in my basket. You're not letting me shop, so stop sending me the emails. It's just a nightmare. I know you had a lot of trouble with it yesterday.
Well, it's a My Jail's plan, I remember. I usually get a wee Uber driver to drop my ticket off today, so I'm really disappointed. Do I have sympathy for Rangers? No, right? So in the past, I've known for a fact that they've been saddled with a website that was on a contract and, you know, you kind of just step away from it without it costing a lot of money. So I knew that and I thought, well, let's deal with it. But that yesterday is the kind of thing, in all seriousness, that destroys the tie between a supporter and a club, right? And that might sound a bit, you know, grandiose and dramatic, but there's the old saying that people may or may not remember you, but they'll remember how you made them feel. Yep. And yesterday I was ready to, you know, punch babies. It was horrendous. I'm spending 3 hours at my work on my screen. I'm then trying it on my phone. I'm phoning my wife who's babysitting somebody else's child to go on the computer at home and getting her to look up passwords. It was a nightmare. I ended up getting my ticket sitting in Central Station on my phone. No rhyme or reason to it. It's not what we're doing, it's the system. So I've complained about this, right? I'm not a complainer. I'm not. I'll only complain when it's due. And I emailed the customer services manager at Rangers. I'll not get his name it because he'll end up with 4,000 emails if I get his name it. But I emailed him, I don't know, 6 months ago, and he gave me the courtesy of a call back, and he explained a few things to me. He says, look, we're saddled with this, and we're getting a new website. We know it needs to be fixed. It's the bane of his life. The poor guy's got one hand tied behind his back. Yesterday, I emailed him again, and I says, look, I know you're going to have a few of these emails, but let me tell you, mate, this is beyond the pale. And my point to him was, see if we know what we can purchase on that ticketing website. It can handle the volume, even when they're trying to filter it to certain segments. Can we not just go back until the new website set up to the old system, which is you register, you either have a ticket or not, and we post it out to you, and take out this purchase situation for now. And I think they need to seriously look at that until the end of the year, or until this new website's live, because this is deadly, and it's the kind of thing that if Stuart Robertson and everybody else are sitting there trying to, you know, banding the hatches to some criticism that they might feel isn't legitimate, this is the kind of thing that just torpedoes all that, because it cuts to the heart of being a Rangers fan. You've got a Rangers-Celtic final. You're emotionally dying to get confirmation you're at it. And this flipping website is just slapping you about the face time after time, hour after hour. You're on Twitter and you can see everybody else in the same position. So if you encapsulate some of the things that go wrong at Rangers, that ticket website would be the one. But again, Mr. Nice Guy, I'm cutting them the slack, because I do know there's a new website coming and it'll tie in with Edmondson House and the events there and everything else. So I feel better for getting it off my chest now, Adam. That's exercise yesterday's stress. Thanks.
It's been like a therapy session for you, Andy.
Yeah.
It is. And
get your energy levels back up and we'll go for Edmondson House in a few minutes. Grant, I think Andy summed up quite nicely there, but something I've seen mentioned on Twitter, etc., as well, is if it wasn't Rangers, you'd just give up and you wouldn't bother.
Exactly that.
You didn't have that sort of loyalty, need, addiction, whatever you want to call it, to get those tickets and go to the game, then you'd just give up. You see, if it was probably any gig in the world, if someone said to me, you need to wait 3 hours on this, then they're going to kick you out, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, I would just give up and say, I'll get one later on and I'll go. But you just keep plugging away at it. It's not great, as Andy said. Hopefully it's going to get sorted, whether it's in the summer or whether it's a little bit further down the line, I've got no idea. But it's just not fit for purpose when you've got the volume of fans. And to be fair, the numbers, the volumes of cost that we're putting through it, I think, I don't know, £100 a month or something on top of season tickets, just for other associated tickets you need to buy through that. It's a lot of money.
No, absolutely. Like you talk about there, Adam, if it wasn't Rangers, we would give up. There's people saying on Twitter, if it wasn't the tickets, if it was any other product that Rangers were selling, they would have given up for it as well. And that's a dangerous place to have a fan base in, because it then just creates a disconnect between the fan base and the board. And
yep,
we've got enough issues with what the support and the board feel are different at the moment, than needing to add the ticketing system into it as well. Andy made an interesting point there about taking away the purchase option for it, because this is for the final. You have to be on the CCCS to be in this priority group anyway. So surely Rangers know who's in the CCS, who makes the cut-off point.
Yep.
The cut-off for the points that they've got out at the moment. So surely then it should just be, or you would imagine it would be easy enough to then just do it as a normal CCS game for it. But it can only get better, which is a positive spin on it. I hope to God it can't get any worse than what it is at the moment. So I believe that the contract, Andy, you've mentioned, is coming to an end. So we should hopefully see positive steps in the right direction for it. But I felt bad for anybody that had to sit through that yesterday. That was just ridiculous.
Andy, you're getting a lot of love in these comments. First time seeing Andy, he doesn't look as hard as he sounds. I don't know if that's that's a good one.
He doesn't look as hard as that. I think that's a compliment.
Yeah, certainly pre-watershed anyway.
That's a compliment.
That's not Andy McGowan. I always thought he'd look a little older. There you go.
Well, it's a good crowd on the right. Thanks, Ross.
Right, let's go Edmondson House then. It's opening on Saturday, soft launch. I see a lot of people complaining that because they paid their £150, they're not getting in first. I don't know if that was ever on the agenda, but to be honest, I've lost the bot. Sorry, it's...
I believe, Adam, it was first look at the museum when it was opening, okay. Not in general.
Okay, the amount of time it's taken, I think that box has just collapsed into recycling on its own in my cupboard, so I don't know. But Andy, you're obviously a big fan of this. There's been a bit of criticism, millstone round the neck, money being spent, blah, blah, blah. I think I had a little peek around about it on Tuesday, just round the perimeter, etc. It's a lot bigger than I kind of thought it was. It looks quite impressive. I don't get around that side of the stadium all that often, to be honest, so I hadn't really seen it coming as it was evolving. It looks like a good space. They're going to have the licensed fan zone in it at least this weekend. Don't know about the cafe, etc. The museum is a few months away, certainly, in terms of getting fitted out. I think it is going to be a very good venue for us in the long term.
So do you just go straight into the press room, Adam, get the free Black Rooster and coffee and that stuff?
My wee chauffeur just outside, just the main door, and I go.
You and Edgar. So where do I start with this? Right, though. I'm a bit perplexed sometimes with some of the Rangers support reaction, and this is where I kind of isolate myself with a lot of fans in the lot, and you're mental. So the kind of thing I've been hearing is that this has cost us in terms of it's money that could be going towards a team that has been redirected elsewhere. That's true, right? If we're winning things, I think if we were 9 points ahead and 9 points behind, I don't think anybody would be saying that. That's the fickle nature of football the world over, right? But the way I see this is, right, I'm 46. I can't remember when we've not been saying we should have a museum.
Yeah.
We should have a museum that's worthy of Rangers, and it's open every day, and we show the world our story, and et cetera, et cetera. And that's true. That's right. Right. And I've also heard, for as long as I've been going to Rangers, fuck all to Dairy and Ibrox. We've got to go to KFC, and you know, my money's in my pocket, and it's going to somebody else, and not going to Rangers. And I've got to go to Loudon, and all, there's not enough pubs, and blah blah blah. Right, you get the scenario, right? We are now addressing almost every single one of those issues with Edmondson House, right? Where we've got a chance of making money on a non-match day, right? I was doing it at Anfield for the Champions League, and I walk around, and they've got a fantastic big building, which was akin to Edmondson House, with this big shop and all that kind of stuff, and they had the Kidlin Beatles playing outside it, and it was great. And we are doing this just now, and I hate to harp on about it, but it's a fact. We're doing this not that long after we were nearly gone, right? Yep. So the fact that we are now sitting here at this point in time, 10, 11 years later, and we've got a team that's, you know, competing and should be doing a wee bit better, but it's there, and we're building infrastructure around the stadium footprint, which is another thing we always get spoken about. What are we doing with the footprint? And we are paying for it, not through long-term loans. We're paying it from effectively cash flow.
Yeah.
So this is something that gets missed in the nuance, is that if it was a long-term loan, it means you've not got the first penny to do it. It means you've got to borrow it all.
Yeah.
And it, if you're paying it for cash flow, then it means that, see, once you've got it paid, once it's built and paid, you've no debt.
Yeah.
And therefore, every penny that it makes as profit is now yours. So the way to think of this is, I mean, I don't know what the projections are, right, but I've heard, you know, it should make £1 million clear once it's all singing and all dancing. Now, that'll not happen straight away. It'll take 2, 3, 4 years to actually tune up and establish itself as a music or comedy venue or whatever we're going to use it for, because that's competitive in Glasgow. But at some point in the future, not too distant future, this will be making us a £1 million profit per year that goes into the club, right? So you're building a big printing machine for a £1 million note every year, and we're moaning that we can't take 1 year out of the madness of FUTBA to actually make that happen, because it's extreme short-termism to think otherwise, for me, right? The folk in the comments can come on and tell me, Andy, that's wrong, and you know we should be beating Celtic this year, and that's what matters. Fair dues, I don't agree. I think we've got to start looking a wee bit above the horizon of the end of the season. We need to start winning things on the park, but by the same token, what happens on the park is directly correlated with what happens off the park, which is why I get defensive about Bisgrove and I get defensive about different things. No, quite the Champions League money. I thought they took the piss, but I know why they did it, because they all sold out. So for a fiscal point of view, it was the right thing. Now, for an ethical, moral and customer service, you know, cosiness, it wasn't it? But if we know, the one thing I'll say about the Rangers just new board is, I think that every penny that comes in is going to something that's supposed to be worthwhile. I don't think there's a lot of leakage, a lot of wastage. I think the Majors money, which we moan about, right, it's going to the first team.
Yeah,
I've spoken about the wage bill. The wage bill is running hot, and the board are letting it run hot because they want to see, what we all want to see, a successful team. Flip side of that is you can't have the transfer fees as well. The new financial fair play doesn't allow that to happen. I'm not going to get into that because folk will turn off. But there's all this going on, and we need to make more money off the park. And if we were spending this money on an extra 4,000 seats that brought us in £1 million a year, folk wouldn't blink an eyelid.
Yeah.
But what we're getting here is extra money, a facility we can be proud of, a facility we can use. And I think the museum... So I've booked it. Well, I've no booked it. I'm in trouble now. My wife's booked the Blue Sky Lounge for Valentine's Day.
How romantic, yeah.
I know.
Nice.
And I heard that within, you know, hours of that being opened up for bookings, there was 2,500 inquiries. See that museum? There'll be families going to that every single day for now until that place falls down, and we'll be making money out of it. And folk will be getting something out of it, because we'll be able to take our families and go to a museum, whereas just now you need to book the tour, and it's only every so often the rest of it. This is a game changer for us.
Yeah.
And I think the negativity just needs to take a wee bit of patting down. Is that enough, you, Adam? Have I sold it enough, or is anybody going to actually have a go at me here?
No, we've got lots of positive comments, so I won't put them up. I'll just put up the ones that are calling you names. But just I want to stick with you a minute, though, because it's interesting what you said. It's funny what's more important, I guess, isn't it? Because if we brought in £1 million player every year, fans would be like, okay, that's great. We brought in that player, that's fine. But see, because it sort of goes into a big pot and we don't automatically know this player was paid for by Edmondson House, I think some people tend to then, it just goes into this big sort of swimming pool of money, and it's the same with the Blue Sky Lounge, it's the same with my jersey even, same with the lottery. It's like, oh, this is annoying because you don't automatically see something. But for me, with Edmondson House, from Andy's point, Grant, Edmondson House, when we get this sort of fan zone in there, when you get the museum, there's even a cafe in it you can go to. We're now going to have a bar on the where the stadium, where the club shop used to be. I think all of these things, when people see actually how impressive that is, and don't get me wrong, there's going to be probably more people that don't go to it than do go to it because it just doesn't suit what they're doing. But it's maybe more about, less about revenue generation and more about giving the fans something to do, but it's a bit of both, Grant. I think that's the key, certainly for me. It's things that we've been moaning about for years, and it's also going to be, hopefully, a bit of a moneymaker in that sense as well.
No, absolutely. Like everything, it always falls somewhere in the middle between the two sides of it, and it is 100% what it is. I've been going now since 98 when I was six, and it's always something that originally me and my dad found quite difficult to do, is spend quite a lot of time with Ibrox outside of the 15 minutes you turn up before the game, the 90 minutes, and then leave, because there wasn't a lot for families to do. It's fine if you want to go into like the Loudon or the wee Ibrox bar or wherever it is, but it is going to be something that leaves a legacy for the club. Throughout, like, there's a lot of hype about the museum because we're all interested to see what's going to be in it. Is there going to be any recognition for certain people like Jimmy Bell, Walter Smith, etc.? So it brings a lot of hype to it as well. Amongst the criticism, some of it has been fair. If you look at like the recent offering for the 50 grand package, etc., and people talk about that it's been delayed for X amount of months or years or whatever it may be, but it's something that will be vital for the club, because Bisgrove was talking about it quite recently, that they wanted to do stuff that would allow fans to be in the proximity of Ibrox for longer than 90 minutes. And if you add into that, what he was actually also adding into the equation was the additional sports bar as well. It's something that will set the club up. It just extra revenue streams, which when this new financial fair play regulation comes into place, it then just adds into your favour, because you've then got money that you didn't have before.
Absolutely.
See on that, Adam, the big news that I can announce is that Heart and Hand Live have got a residency every Friday night in the new concert hall, which will generate about £1 million a year for David Edgar.
David Edgar, aye. That's a joke before anybody... they've not had the David Edgar will be getting hate mail. Why have I not? Where are my tickets? But yeah, no, it's not.
I keep interrupting, Adam. But the other thing here is, see if it's feasible. Do you think that a beanbag every away game? So we've not got enough tickets. We've got my dear bun fight every single away game, apart from Livingston, maybe. And if you tell me that there's going to be a beanbag in the Edmondson House at 3 o'clock on a Saturday because we're playing at Tynecastle or whatever, and you can have a beer with your pals and you can stay there before and after the game.
Yep.
What would be the viewpoint on that for the supporters? The supporters would lap that up, and absolutely, there'll be buses running to and everything. There would actually be another bun fight for tickets for that. So these are the kind of things that if we can free up TV rights and, you know, make that accessible, then that's all there to be done.
Yeah, absolutely. It opens up things that maybe we don't think about right now, 100%. Okay, 39 minutes in, I guess we should talk about the actual football. Andy, it's difficult to sometimes when there's no midweek game. Andy, St Johnstone last week, I was up there, the pitch was atrocious, the game was atrocious. I don't think we were terrific, but we got through, we got it done, which is a bit of a feature of Michael Beale so far. I'm expecting a bit better when we come back to Ibrox. We've had a full week. I think the players had a day or two off. We've had a full week. Hopefully Cantwell on the bench. I would have liked Raskin to be kicking about by now, I have to say, but that's looking quite unlikely, certainly, to be anywhere near making some minutes on Saturday. We'll wait until the press conference tomorrow, but the last we heard was possibly Yanis Hadji and John Souter would be in the squad for this as well. So we're finally getting to that point, Andy, where we're starting to have some options. Maybe getting out of the worst of the weather as well, when things are looking okay there. But how have you thought things have went over the last few weeks? Do you think it's been making the best of a bad situation, just getting the wins, getting the victories, or do you think we've got a... do you think there's a school of thought that we probably should still be putting teams away a little bit earlier than we are?
So as a child of Souness and an adolescent of Walter Smith, there's only one type of football, and that's women's football. And I think we've sometimes, through the ages, kind of lost sight of that as Rangers supporters. And we've won, you know, we've won professional and everything, and we've won winning football with the style, right? That doesn't happen very often, right? We've got a bit of a dynamic just now where Celtic have it, right? They are a good team to watch. They play exciting football, they're on the front foot, and they're scoring loads and loads of goals. And I think that puts us in a natural position where we compare ourselves to them and everything we do, right? And that is the elephant in the room just now, that transfer activity, you know, everything, we compare ourselves to them and we are kind of saying best just now for most things. But with Beale, since he came in, the aspect of winning games is remarkable, because we've not been at our best. We've had wee glimpses and you can see the team starting to just take shape, and the patterns of play are coming back that we knew so well for the Gerard Beale team. And it's quite enjoying watching them, despite the fact that, you know, last week we described as turgid and the rest of it. There's pockets of play and there's things that sometimes happen that are, you know, you can see the progress. Now, if we're sitting here and we're saying that we've been playing great, flowing football, and we've been unlucky, that's no consolation. We've got to win football games and we've got to learn to do it fast again. So I'm of the opinion, Adam, that Beale, I was quite pleased with Beale. I always thought Beale would be a Rangers manager. I know it sounds kind of, I told you so, but when he left, I says that guy will come back as a Rangers manager sometime.
Yeah.
And he's in, and he's identified a couple of things that we're all talking about. So to your point about, are we putting teams away? He's identified and stated quite clearly that we've not got enough goals in the team. And he's 100% correct. And I was delighted to hear that, because we don't score enough goals for, I mean, our centre-halves don't score enough goals for corners and set pieces, right? Think back to Goff, McPherson, Brown, all the rest of it. They chipped him with 5 goals a season each. That can make a difference between a league title and no league title. Where midfielders are not, you know, Ryan Jack, he scored a goal the other week, but, you know, generally speaking, the final third is a nosebleed, or it's a wrong decision. Lundstrom doesn't shoot enough and doesn't score enough. And we're very reliant on that front four, who, if they miss fire, we're in the shit, because we really need to score 2 or 3 goals because of the defensive issues we've had. So to get to the point, Adam, I think we should be scoring a lot more goals. I think, I go back to my point earlier on about we need a new striker, because Morelos, I like Morelos. I think we function best as a team with Morelos in it, but his goal scoring, what he's doing in front of goal just now isn't good. He's missing too many chances. He's scuffing too many chances. Cholak's the opposite. He'll put them away, but his all-round play takes away something for the team. So this is the evolution, and I think we've got to be happy with what's happened since Beale came in. There's only one football. It's winning football. So we've got to take it when we get it.
Absolutely. I think, Grant, it feels to me, I reference this a lot, but when Van Bronckhorst came in and he got that bounce, it was built on clean sheets rather than sort of fast, free-flowing football. And everybody loved that, because we had, I think we went behind 6 or 7 games in a row before Gerard left, and we managed to come back in quite a few of them. It was the opposite for Van Bronckhorst. I think over time, I don't think that style of play really evolved to what we hoped it would be. For Michael Beale, as Andy said, we've obviously got a lot of past relationship there, but then since he's come in, I think we've certainly seen things moving in the right direction. I think the Kilmarnock game, the middle hour or so, I thought we were absolutely comfortable. We looked really good, particularly in the start of the second half. Nice little interplay between Kent and Morelos, Sakala, Tillman, when he came on. It was all looking really good. It is pointing in the right direction, I think. I don't think it's a case of Rangers are lucky and they're getting out of jail, etc., despite all the defensive issues. I think we are pointing in the right direction. If we can get Cantwell up to speed quickly, hopefully get Raskin in, maybe get another one in. Suter, Hadji aren't far away. Hopefully Yilmaz isn't far away. Lawrence, then we're going to give Michael Beale the best chance, but most importantly, we've got the best chance of a sort of winning, successful Rangers team.
No, absolutely, because you could see at the end of Gio's reign, we were extremely fragile in games where you would think that you've maybe turned the corner, but that confidence was shattered if we conceded early or we got pegged back or whatever it was. And it was quite a fragile confidence we had. So that's quite a hard thing for a new manager to come in and just instantly expect them to just turn it around when you've got players in that state of mind where they've maybe not been enjoying the football or they've, like, the results at the end, like St Mirren, St Johnston, the Champions League campaign, they're difficult for players to take and just overcome immediately. So the response that Bale's got from the squad is actually quite outstanding. We're a couple of minutes away from 100% record throughout this, and it's been a crucial part of the season for us. Like the cup games, the cup semi-final with St Johnston on Saturday, crucial for our season, because if we got knocked out of them, where we are in the league, you're talking about going back to McLeish's last season for just nothing to play for.
Yeah.
For it. So it's been a really good turnaround that he's got in the squad. We can see, as Andy mentioned, that he's starting to put his own style on it again with the patterns of play. Like, if you look at the goal that we scored on Saturday, that move doesn't happen under Van Bronckhorst for me. Yeah. That's a magnificent bit of a play from Tillman to release Sakala, and still can't believe the goalkeeper saved his shot actually at the time. But you get the win from it, you move on with it. We've all heard his post-match comments about the run, so it'll be interesting to see now that we're starting to settle into this one game a week format. I know we've got a midweek game coming up against Hearts soon as well, but going to this almost one game a week format, you should start to see that style get put into the team a lot more, and then that's maybe where the goals will come when they are used to having that extra bit of training ground time.
No, 100%. I totally agree.
See you on Sakala. So they're still, you know, I think Van Bronckhorst was unlucky. There was a lot of things conspired against them. The injuries, yep. There is no question. There's no many managers would have been able to contend and deliver what was expected with injuries that he had. But there was a major problem with not utilising what he had at his disposal. And Sakala was the one that I always went back to. He was ruining Ryan Kent, yep. Because he was literally tied by an elastic band to the, well, not literally, metaphorically tied by an elastic band to the touchline. And then you had a guy who, at this moment in time, is your biggest goal threat, Sakala, who he basically refused to use for a large swathe at the start of the season, which then means that there's no rhythm getting gained by that particular player. And then you bring him in and you ask him to beat Trent Alexander-Arnold in the Champions League, and then you wonder why he can't do it. So Bale is good at identifying strengths and weaknesses of players and how it fits into the way we're going to play. Sakala's becoming a key player.
Yes.
He's one of the first names for Saturday because of what he's bringing to the team in terms of pace and attacking threat. And I thought at Kilmarnock, after they scored, I think I said this in the post-match, but there was a period there where literally the chips are done and you're needing somebody in your team. We talk about grabbing a game by the scruff of the neck.
He was the only one.
But we think about Terry Butcher and folk like that, right? But you can do it and all by purpose. And what he was doing was he just gets his head down and he was taking the ball to the park and getting the team out of the park. And it's a really, really useful thing on the team. So I'm delighted with the way, by comparison to Van Bronckhorst, I'm delighted with the way Bale is utilising his players. And I think the likes of Cantwell, if Van Bronckhorst had signed him, you would probably only see him for 3 weeks because he's getting fit and, you know, we're getting him up to speed. Mm. He'll either start or he'll get half an hour on Sunday and he'll probably start at Tynecastle because Bale knows what he can bring and he trusts him. And, you know, fitness is fitness. You can get something out of a player without them being 100%. You know, if somebody's 85, 90 and they've got the quality, that can win you games.
Yeah, I always felt that with Stephen Davis this time last year. I know there was an injury that he had. He was out for a couple of weeks, but we barely used him from, I don't know, when Van Bronckhorst came in until post-Parkhead. He barely seen a sniff. And you're right, it's just one of those things, that whether it's he's not the fitness that I want, or whether it is just that sort of risk aversion that you seem to have at some points with players. But you're right, I think Sakala, the creating the goal against Kilmarnock, absolutely, we were not doing anything at that point in the game. 100%, he was the only one that looked it. And then, yeah, Tillman gets the plaudits for that little back heel for Sakala, but no one else is making that run and having that shot for me. It just doesn't happen for us at the minute. So I think he's been doing very, very well. Okay, that will wrap us for tonight then, I think. Grant, thank you for joining me.
Absolute pleasure, man. Thank you very much.
And Andy, you'll be signing the little Ibrox replicas outside Edmondson House at what time on Saturday?
Well, I'm doing my commission now that it's built. I've been bumming it up for 2 years now, so I'm doing my commission after Rangers for keeping it popular.
Thank you for coming on.
Oh, shouldn't I say you that?
Thanks for coming on. Okay, and thank you all very much for watching or listening. If you're listening to this after, as you can see, a little blue ticker down the bottom there, heartandhand.co.uk/Patreon. If you want to sign up and listen now, you'll have up to five shows per day, I should say, for just $1.99 per month. If you don't want that and you're happy with the free shows, then you'll have David on Monday to recap the game against St Johnstone and hopefully talk about another signing or maybe two, who knows. Thank you all for listening. Cheers. Bye-bye.
Podcast Network.